Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! So it is that another broadcast week begins here at the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. This will be the first full broadcast week of the month of June 2017. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. If you'd like to be part of the Madcap Multimedia real-time wacky zany extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, feel free to jump in. Just go to just click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and immediately you will find yourself greeted by Anatole and the Hoghead and Laborman and Silent R. Lamar and Steve from Georgistan and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. That's who you'll find there, and more as the evening goes on and more folks wander in. In fact, even as I said it, there's Laborman popping into the merriment. This is a listener-supported broadcast operation. Things are going to begin sounding, I hope, significantly better here within the next couple of weeks as we bring new components into line with a fix to the streaming PC, a brand new production PC. The last of the components for that are in transit, courtesy of Fab. Thank you, Fab, again. And as soon as it arrives, I'll begin building. And also on its way, a brand new mixer. So like I said, things should get dramatically better in terms of sound quality and, well, I don't know, maybe even operator competence, who knows. We can always help. That'll leave just a couple of other components out there, and depending on if people want to jump in on it, I've gotten to thinking about it, and... Well, okay, the thing that got me thinking about it is the weather. Over the course of one blue-skied, bone-dry day and one extremely wet return to the monsoon season day, to wit today, we've had scary little power outages. And... I figure, I mean, because it's Trumpalacha, and because we've got a rickety, creaky, antiquated coal-fired power grid, we'll probably have another one of those 7 to 10 to 14 to 21 day power outages. Anytime. I mean, we're kind of due. It was what, March when we had a 7 day power outage, and they run about every 3-4 months with Appalachian Power. So my thinking is that the next thing we need to get to work on, if you guys are up for it, is a generator inverter. We've got a generator that'll run the household here, and it'll run everything, and it'll run everything else. We need, but it doesn't create clean, conditioned power to run highfalutin hoity-toity things, like computers and sensitive audio processing, and who knows, maybe someday video processing devices. I've looked them up. They are they run about $1,000 to get a good one. Namely something with a Honda engine, which is kind of the industry standard. For about the same money, I found one without a Honda engine. But that little sucker runs dual fuel. It'll either run on gasoline or propane, which is kind of nifty. But that's the next step, and I want to extend profound thanks, as far as the new mixer is concerned, to Kelly and Theo, who added on to Fab's offer and made that possible. That will be it once everything's going to come in line. In fact, with what's going on, I'll probably do for the first time in 12 years, a total studio teardown. I don't mean the building, I mean the stuff in it. And just check all the wires, check all the connections, and make sure everything's clean and clean and nice, and we'll go forward from there. So thank you to Kelly and Theo. That was really, really wonderful of you. Now, we do try to, listener contributions are what keeps this program going and this little radio network. And I'm happy to say that we knocked out, I think when Friday closed, I said we'd have something like a $365 fundraising goal for Moran Monday. Fortunately, that is not the case. It's more like $245. So thanks to the overnight crew of subscribers over the weekend for making that happen. So $245 this evening, and we are on top of fundraising for the first full week of June 2017. Program note: this program will this evening's program and tomorrow evening's program will only go up through 8 p.m. instead of the usual 9 p.m. 3-hour program. Both tonight and tomorrow will be 2-hour programs. And we will, because, you know, at 9 p.m., I'll be firing up the campfire around the Malloy sandbox as Mike and Kathy and Molly get a little traveling in. So join it, but for that you'll have to, well, I'll have it going on the horn stream, but you'll also have to go over to, you'll need to go over to Progressive Voices as well. I'll keep the horn chat room open during the Malloy program for anybody who wants to jump in, assuming, of course, that you can cope with Java. That's kind of a pain, but Java's kind of a pain, but that's how we roll. If you can get in on that, awesome. So that takes care of most of the housekeeping, I think. Thank you, Steve. Steve in New York noting all clear, crystal, in fact, on the tune-ins. Well, yay, that's a nice change. I'm hoping everything remains that way throughout the course of the program. That would be very, very, very nice indeed. Now, I would be misshapen if I did not note that this fifth day of June 2017 is, of course, a Monday. That means, here in the little limited universe that is the Horn Family Community Congregation, it's Moran Monday. It's a day for celebrating, you know, Morans. And I think I think we got our fair share of them. It's it almost goes without saying that you'll have your fair share of Morans, seeing as how Monday follows a weekend. And this Monday is no different. It was a lovely weekend. For anyone who ever, let's say you just live far, far away from almost level West by Cole Trump Jinyistan, and for some reason or another you wanted to come here and, I don't know, do some whitewater rafting or rock climbing or biking or ecotourisming or, you know, that kind of thing. And you thought, gee, I want to make sure that I've got good weather in which to do this. Well, this is just a little bit of trivia for anyone planning warm weather summertime activities in almost level West by Cole Trump, Virginia. Consistently, with the arrival of any year, this one being 2017. But the same being largely truth for about the last 100, I think. You can count on a lovely, lovely day on the first Saturday in June in West Virginia. Go figure. I don't know why it's that way, but it has been that way for many, many, many years. And this last Saturday was no different. It was an exquisite day. It was one of those Robert Frost happiness makes up in height for what it lacks in length days. And yesterday was as well. And then late last night, early this morning, the heavens cracked like an egg, and it rained so hard that the rain striking our metal roof here at the mansion was so loud that it woke me up. And that's saying something, because I was sleeping better than I have slept in weeks, because Agnes is home for a couple of weeks. Belay that a couple of days, which leads to another programming note. It is possible that either Monday or Monday and Tuesday of next week, there may not be a program. I may have to be gone. Well, I know I'm gonna have to be gone Tuesday. So I'd say it's almost a lead pipe cinch that there won't be a program on Tuesday. Possibly Monday as well. And because I tell you guys what's going on and what's happening, and there's no, you know, it is what it is, and it's modern life. I'll be over, and I'll be taking Agnes back over to our eldest daughter's. And I don't think Agnes will mind me saying this. Our eldest daughter is going through a divorce. And she'll be having a divorce hearing on Tuesday. And we, being supportive parents, will be there for, you know, a little hand-holding. And the scheduling of the hearing is such that I probably won't be able to get back here to the mansion, to the studio, in time to do a program on Tuesday evening. To get there in time for the hearing itself will require either leaving here on Monday or getting up at what my friend John Fox, and I think this is an Australian thing, getting up at what John Fox refers to as Sparrow's Fort to get over there. And, right. So that's where all of this is. So if I put out, we know there won't be a program Tuesday. If I put out a note saying no program Monday either, you'll at least know why. And that's why. So that takes care of the vast majority of the housekeeping. Of course, if you want to help out with fundraising, and thank you very kindly, Charlene, for getting us started and taking us down to $220 to go to get the program fully fundraised for this Morion Monday. Thank you, Charlene. All you got to do is go to Head On Radio Network, and you just click on Contribute, and you use the PayPal interface. A lot of times, and I should mention this, in some instances, subscriptions fall off like at the 1 year anniversary or something. We've had a couple of those. And if you'd like to become, just set it and forget it, $10, $20, whatever you want to do. Mr. Soros, $10,000, please. $10,000 a month. You'll never even feel it, Mr. Soros. Just put whatever amount and then click the box that makes this recurring monthly donation and go on it. If you prefer the United States mail, and some people do, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV, 25801. And Bossman Wayne picks up the mail, but he won't be picking up the mail for a few more days. I do have good news about Bossman Wayne. A couple of Mondays back, he had his gallbladder out, and then he sat in misery for a week, and finally, you know, stopped gritting his teeth and went back to his surgeon and said, "Hey, doc, it still hurts like all." And the doc said, "Well, I'll be dipped. You've got stones blocked in your common bile duct that we didn't quite notice while we were doing your surgery." And so they took a good hard look at it and then said, "You know, this is really above our pay grade in Beckley." And sent him off to the University of Virginia's Medical Center in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I had one of the best phone calls I've had in a very long time earlier today when Bossman Wayne called me himself and said, "It's over. It's done. They got it. I feel great. I can't wait to get home. It'll take me a couple of days, but it's going to be so nice to eat an actual meal again after all this." Because, see, unlike me, Bossman Wayne doesn't have the weight to give. There's not a whole lot of Bossman Wayne. And so there's considerably less of Bossman Wayne than there is of me. And having gone through a thing where I didn't get to eat for a very long time, and, well, still eating, consuming very gingerly. A lot of yogurt. Oh, and we'll have some unpaid product placements here in a moment regarding yogurt. Bossman Wayne will be able to eat again, and he'll be up and running, and he'll be doing things like checking the mailbox and sending in deposits and things like that that he does over there, you know, with his spider-proof gloves on and whatnot when he goes to the Horn mailbox at box 318. So that catches us up, I think, with all the news inside the Horn Family Community Congregation here close to home. And we'll get started on the Morions in just a minute or so. But I did mention, you know, just because it's fun and just because we kind of look out for each other, I've been engaging in yogurt experimentation. I'll see a new brand of yogurt hit the shelves, and by God, I'll try it. So, it was a couple of weeks ago, I saw Siggy's brand Icelandic-style yogurt. First, we had Greek yogurt. Now, we've got Icelandic Viking yogurt. And immediately snapped some of that up. Boy, did I hate it. It was like eating a cup of fat-free sour cream. So I told Agnes about it. She said, "Well, don't throw it away. Save it for me." And Agnes loves it. I despise it. Agnes loves it. So this last time through running through Kroger's, a good union grocery store, as opposed to, well, others that aren't, I saw a new brand. To wit, I think it's called Happy Cow, with milk from grass-fed cattle, made with milk from grass-fed cattle, lightly sweetened with agave nectar, and some truly bizarre flavors. The one I tried was black cherry chai. But there was also maple ginger and honey pear. And based on my experience with the black cherry chai, I have asked Agnes to please be the taster for the maple ginger and the honey pear, because it was like drinking a glass of milk. It was very thin, and it seemed like it got thinner the more you stirred it. So we'll have a product recommendation or non-recommendation from Agnes as soon as she tries the Happy Cow yogurt. Sheesh. The Happy Cow yogurt apparently is out of Georgia. The Siggy's Icelandic yogurt is out of New York. And I think I'm just going to stick with Chobani for a while. Or the Danone Oikos. Those seem to work for me. Wow, that was trivial. So with that having been said, you know, there's things that we do on given particular days of the week. And, well, one of them is this.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. Wherever you are, within the grounds of the fair, the carnival, head on over to the Calliope Music, where we have begun Moran Monday on the horn. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas behind me, oh, my friends, you will find them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, bagger eaters, booger eaters, teabaggers, trumpanzees. It's a little. It's better off when your humble host here doesn't have gin on the mashed potatoes instead of gravy, shortly before airtime. But yes, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, bircher eaters, booger eaters. You see the problem? Gin, I'm telling you, guzzlers, gin. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, baggers, booger eaters, libertarians, Republicans, trumpanzees, because it's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. You can't tell the morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the morans you just can't tell them much. Works out to being a little bit less than 17 cents per hour of programming for every hour for a $10 a month contributor, and there's not a bigger bargain in media, and frankly, not even in the Rippy Mart. There's not a 17-cent item anywhere to be found in America these days, except here at the Horn. So, taking in mind that you must be careful with things that you carry into the cybernetic tent, things like, children, small pets, that iguana you won throwing ping pong balls at a goldfish bowl, European-style messenger bags, purses, wallets. Yes, because the morans can get grabby. Well, come on in. Come on in, one and all. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, kitties and cousins, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, all are welcome within the Moran Monday tent. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. And you will. You really and for truly will. Because morans pile up on the weekend. There's almost too many too many to keep up with. It's almost too much for the Calliope player to keep account of. But they're there. For instance, how's about, I mentioned that there are trumpanzees in the Moran Monday tent. Well, that new word entered the lexicon a week or so ago, covfefe. Covfefe, covfefe. It's really, well, we don't know quite how to pronounce it. But we do know that in their desperation to make the word an actual thing instead of just the actions of a random, misbehaving, ill-begotten spirochete tunneling its way through whatever is left of the Swiss cheesy, spongy, vile nastiness that is the brain o' Trump. Well, there are theories about covfefe. You know, I feel like somebody needs to say Gesundheit or bless you or I need to apologize or something. Just oh my God, I stepped in covfefe. You know what I mean? Oh, I'll never get that off my shoe. But I've seen where one individual has explained that covfefe is a word that comes from a pre-flood language. No, that flood. The one that's in the Bible. It rained a lot one time, and the people who were amazed by rain and experienced flooding for the first time ever thought that the whole world had been wiped out and wrote it into a holy book that people now, some people, now think is a literal account of a time when every bit of landmass on Earth was covered by water. Every continent. Eurasia, or Europe and Asia, if you prefer, Africa. The Australian mini-continent, the subcontinent of India, North America, South America. The poles weren't even frozen. They were covered by water. Yeah, I know. Look, it's Moran Monday. What do you want? So, yes, covfefe is a secret word known only to the marmalade Mugabe. That was a new one I read this weekend. More on that in a moment. The marmalade Mugabe was meant to show us that he Trump is connected to ancient mystical wisdom. Ancient Chinese secret, some hotshot. Here's my Chinese secret, Calgon. No favorite. He's over on Reddit. One of whom was clever enough to type co-translate. And Google Translate, which is notoriously unreliable, I might note, has translated things for years and years and years. In real time and with real expertise. But the Reddit, they've decided that covfefe, Arabic word, it is. It's in that Arab language. Like wildfire. Covfefe. Translated from Arabic, the president, God Emperor, is giving us hope in troubled times. Despite the negative media, I will stand up. Covfefe means I will stand up in Arabic. Trump never makes mistakes, you guys. Covfefe is a message in Arabic. 26-dimensional chess. So he wanted the media and the leftist retards to think he screwed up. He let him go on and on and on while we just had a blast with it. That magnificent madman. Covfefe is I will stand up in Arabic. It was right after the bombing in Kabul. To quote a failed politician, delete your account. I imagine these are the same people who look for the Virgin Mary in a dog's rectum and bagels and various forms of toasted bread. Look, Ma, the Virgin Mary's on the back of my Pop-Tart. That's no way to talk about the Virgin Mary, son. Yeah, really. Morans. Covfefe, I'll stand up. In pre-flood, I guess it's Reformed Egyptian. Yeah, just like the language that the golden plates that Joseph Smith found and had to translate by looking through rocks into a hat. They were written in a Reformed Egyptian. I guess that's probably a pre-flood language too. Oh my God, our country is, and it's hard to avoid saying this, I don't like it, so screwed. Hey, by the way, just so you'll know, Covfefe, and I checked in with a couple of Arabic speakers. Covfefe is not Arabic, not even remotely Arabic. I mean, there's not even a majestic, noble, gracious, serene, high Saudi princeling who has a, you know, pet poodle named Covfefe. And, you know, if there was one, he'd probably eat it. Barbarians. Ron and Raleigh caught it. Really? Somebody's trying to usurp the name of my favorite despot, Bad Bobby Mugabe? Another man that proves evil is a preservative. Yeah, name, I did not come up with it. No, you got to give credit where credit's due, because this is part of Moran Monday, too. I saw this thing over the weekend. And wow, I mean, it makes makes a lot of sense. Apparently, there is, and this is nothing but rumor, nothing but idle, rank, shameless gossip. There is now an extant rumor that, to use the linguistic terminology of another era, among other things, that weird-ass hair on Comrade Kumquat's head is hiding something behind, besides spirochetes. To wit, Marcus Aurelius is wearing horns. And the line about the new moniker, the Marmalade Mugabe, comes from a story about that. And what a juicy dish it is. Holy cow. It is apparently one of those things that everybody knows but no one is talking about. That the reason melanoma is staying up in New York, and I might note that, school's out, and school was the reason that she couldn't come south and live in the White House, because little Boron had to graduate sixth grade. Because one of these days he's either going to be a fry cook or a brain surgeon. Or he might be a streetcar conductor, because they get to wear a blue serge suit and have them nickel squirters, which are awful fun. But that's why she couldn't come south and actually be first lady. Well, it might be that she can't come south and be first lady because she's not, you know, Trump's first lady. She's somebody else's first lady. Namely, the head of security at Tiffany's in, did I get this right? Trump Tower. Oh, really? And that everybody knows it, but nobody's talking about it. I know. So just, kind of keep it in mind. That there may, you know, there may really be a damn fine reason why she's so seldom seen. I'm actually looking right now so I can send you to the website so you can read it for yourself. I love fun language. The Trump is by someone named Awesomely Lovey.com, AWESOMELY, Awesomely Lovey, LUVVIE.com. And look, anytime you see a headline like this, if you're at all like me, to wit, you know, suffering from occasional bits of terminally shallow, you will click and you will read. Is Melania Trump getting federally funded side peen? See? Yeah? You're like, oh, how do I find that? Awesomely Lovey, LUVVIE.com. Is Melania Trump getting federally funded side peen? P-E-E-N. And whoever this person is, she writes like an angel. Well, like an angel with its tongue firmly planted in its cheek. Let me tell you something. I haven't started the new season of House of Cards yet because I honestly feel like we're living in it. Double dose of it might be, all caps, too much, T-E-W. This Trump administration is like primetime fuck shit. On the bad part, everything is crumbling and the world is burning. On the good side, we got more tea than we can ever drink. We're drowning in tea. Last night, someone else blessed us with more. A saint struck through. Woman by the name of Monica Byrne, at Monica Byrne 13, B-Y-R-N-E 13, took to Twitter to drop into... She gathered for us all and challenged journalists to go dig up more on it. It's about Melania Trump, and listen, it was good. Here's the tweet that took me out. The crux of the spillage, if you will. But here it is, Monica Byrne 13 on Twitter. For many years, Melania has been having an affair with the head of security at Tiffany's in the Trump Tower lobby. And then, hi, at Real Donald Trump. We're all wondering if your wife, Melania Trump, is having an affair with the head of security at Tiffany's or nah. Awesomely Lovey then writes, grabs my wig. I have died. Finish. Wear all red suits to my funeral and matching dyeable slingbacks. Tell them to swag surf at my repast because, Lord! There is nothing like hot tea, not even the Lipton kind. We need to call this something higher like Teavana or some shit. Organic and expensive. This tea is too good. And she points out, we all know that Melania is disgusted by the fail whale. See? I told you this was good. By the fail whale she's legally bound to. We know. We see it every time she winces when he touches her and when she refuses to hold his hand. We see it in her stupid squint that her soul dies a little bit every day she has to be attached to him. I'd already heard through the grapevines that she was going to divorce his ass, but then he went and played the world's unfunniest practical joke and became the President of the United States, so she was stuck with him and doomed to play the ornament in Satan's tree of an administration. But I hadn't heard about her side bae, who happens to be a security guard at the Tiffany's at the Trump Tower that Melania refuses to leave, even as her husband is living in the White House. I hadn't heard that, and it all makes sense. I thought she was getting through it with a rabbit or some other battery-powered toy, but no, she might have went and got her real-life meat. Whoa. I'll leave the rest of it to you so you can enjoy it in your at your leisure. But it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's kind of straight out of an Eagles song, isn't it? Slovenian girls just seem to find out early how to, with just a smile. A rich old man and she won't have to worry. She'll dress up all in lace and go in style. Isn't that from the Eagles hit Melania's Eyes, isn't it? Yeah. I know, shallow as hell. But there's one thing. If it's true, it means that you, I, me, we, us are paying an exorbitant amount of money for her to live in Trump Tower with all of the cost that attends the guarding of a presidential spouse. At one point, that was estimated to be greater than sufficient to make sure that no one in the entire city of New York was you know, homeless. It costs so much every month. And the reason that she won't leave and come to Washington, D.C. is because her boyfriend wouldn't like it none. And it also explains away the hand slaps and the not wanting to be touched and the... Because you know, Side Bay, as he is referred to, Side Bay might be watching. And she doesn't want that ickiness sort of extending onto their thing, their third-rate romance at a high-rent rendezvous, as it were, with apologies to the amazing Rhythm Aces. Yep. At Ron and Raleigh with a note. LMAO. Geezer discussed us being cucked. It would be the ultimate cucking. Fat Donnie Two Scoops would not be able to survive the ridicule he would be subjected to. So Baron Bodine Trump graduated sixth grade. He and Jethro can become double knot spies. Well, of course, Ron, he's already an expert at the cyber. Donnie Tiny Hands done told us that. Yep, note coming from Steve in New York. Boron, oh my God, he's the reincarnation of Ronald Reagan. Ronbo. That's one cowbell for Ron. Another cowbell for Steve. Jack in Shreveport says, I've missed a lot on the news surrounding Covfefe. However, I would still think I would have heard at least once that it was supposed to be coverage. The letters are physically close, at least on the same side of the keyboard. And it's far enough off that autocorrect might not work on it, so it's the last word in the tweet, so Trump could have pressed send before he saw it. Well, that's exactly what happened, and it's what nobody really wants to point out, is that it was a case of tweetus interruptus. I don't know. Maybe he heard. Maybe it was the squeaking. Maybe him being up all night and walking the halls of the White House in a bathrobe has something about to do with the fact that he knows he is wearing horns, and it's driving him crazy because for all the years that he was a cheating, philandering, double dealing, bed hopping, adulterous. What else? Freak. Now the shoe is on the other tiny foot. And it's eating him alive from the inside out. I mean, remember, we have Howard Stern to thank for the fact that the man has bragged for years about his sexual proclivities. Then there's the Access Hollywood tapes, which were not enough to prevent America, a certain percentage of them, you know, less than the ones that voted for, you know, the devil, from voting, then voted for him. He described the 1990s as his sexual Vietnam. Because he was too much of a chicken shit to go to the real Vietnam. It all sort of comes together, doesn't it? Maybe melanoma won't touch him because she knows he has neurosyphilis, tertiary syphilis. A lot of stuff just sort of comes together in this. By the way, special Moran nomination, courtesy of the Angry Indian, to the Mouse Network. Headline from dailymail.co.uk. ESPN brings Hank Williams Jr. back to Monday Night Football 6 years after he was fired for comparing Obama golfing with Boehner to Hitler playing with Netanyahu. Bullets, country music singer Hank Williams Jr. will debut a new music video for ESPN's Monday Night Football. Williams was dropped by ESPN in 2011 for making controversial statements. He compared Obama golfing with Republican House Speaker John Boehner to Hitler golfing with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But the network now says fans have missed Williams' iconic MNF theme song. Funny, I haven't. But this is the age of Trump, and it I guess just being driven by a need for ratings and a desire to appease the thugs of the Trumpansy army. Well, you know, they're going to give them Hank. Couldn't they have maybe just got moved up a generation and brought in Hank 3? Yeah, oh well. Mm-hmm. So, it's, you know, everything is part of it. And I want to take a moment just to address an idea that seems to be popping up, and not just here in our little community, but in the broader progressive leftosphere. And it's something with which I can certainly identify. And I imagine the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation can, too. And that's this. We're sick of talking about Trump. We're sick of talking about tweets. We're sick of talking about his ignorance, his idiocy. It has been, as was said to me over the weekend, you know, it's May, he was inaugurated in January, and it feels like he's been president forever. Because of the deluge of dumbassery that has attended every last little thing about his presidency. And like I said, I identify with it. And so in the process of pulling together the program this evening, I made a conscious effort to try to find things understanding that it was Moran Monday, but also willing to deviate from the format. I've been looking for things non-Trump. And they're there. And we'll hit them. But the problem that I ran into, and it's I'm not sure if it's me, it might be, or if it's just the way things are. Most of the things that make us go, ah, right now, have Trump somewhere at their terminus. You want to talk about climate change? Okay. Well, how do you talk about climate change without talking about the denier in chief? Look at what happened with the Paris Accords. And by the way, an aside from the Great Minds Think Alike department, Dr. Bill's archives are back up at White Rose again. And lo and behold, and Dr. Bill had not been listening, I made mention a few nights ago of Woodrow Wilson and the League of Nations. And putting it ever so much more eloquently, Dr. Bill today directly compared the United States' refusal to participate in the League of Nations with the United States' now refusal to participate in the Paris Climate Accords. With the understanding that this latest refusal has the potential to be freighted with as much disaster as what the refusal to participate in the League of Nations wound up to carry. Again, it's kind of hard to talk about things like national security and hard to talk about what happens on a planet when we begin to see mass migrations, the likes of which the world has not known in, you know, a thousand years or so. Without talking about why it is we have to talk about them. Because it's going to... There's reason to believe that there is bad, bad, bad stuff on the way. And yeah, I agree. Carol Baker pointing out it's hard not to talk about the moron in chief. I mean, it's like he begs to have homage paid to him on Moran Monday. I mean, he's like the Pope at Rome for morons. Take for instance a little something something coming out of Michigan. An official in Flint has resigned his post for what I consider to be good reason. Good moron reason. In a sort of, holy smokes, I can't believe that actually got said out loud. The problem being that, as a result of Trump, the id of a whole lot of Trumpanzees, the inner monologue of a lot of Trumpanzees has gone public. The individual in question here is Phil Stair, S-T-A-R, sales manager of the Genesee County Land Bank. And he resigned today. According to MLive, there was a and progressives and liberals have watched him over the years for his ferocious takedowns of things right wing and kind of tolerate phobia because he was such a an effective against the right. Because Bill Maher, Friday night, and this is probably a larger discussion that we need to have here, I have been bothered by it for a very long time. That word. And it's kind of pissantish of me to refer to it even as that word. I was, from the time I was little, raised to believe that that word was only used by ignorant people, and that I was certainly not ignorant, and I should not use it. Well, a new vogue, I suppose, surrounds that word. At least it does with trumpanzees. Yeah, you know the word I mean. The word with an N and an R and an E and two G's and an I that isn't ginger. Yeah. But that word gets used on this program. I will use it when I am reporting on its use. When I am quoting someone who has used that word. But even when I do, I feel kind of sick and disgusted about it. Not kinda, I do. And it is neither to lecture nor to chide when I say that that when the word gets used, I know that there are members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who are disgusted by it. We have some people very dear to this program who engage in conversation here, who throw the word around a bit. And I try not to censor people on this program. And perhaps the argument that can be made that when that word is used by someone against whom the word has historically been used, it has a different meaning, that it has a different cachet, that it has a different effect. But I don't think the day is ever going to come when I'm just going to be okay with saying that word, when I'm going to say that word and it's just going to feel like I don't need to go and wash my mouth out with Octagon soap. Because my revulsion at that word runs deeply, all the way to the bone. As do ever so many epithets based upon ethnicity. So, that word got a workout this weekend. First, it happened Friday night on Real Time with Bill Maher in an exchange with Ben Sasse, Republican Senator of Nebraska, who is billed as a new kind of Republican, which that is to say, an old kind of Republican, which is to say, you know, not completely hateful and motivated by vicious ignorance. And no, he's just a conservative who wants to make sure that nobody who doesn't deserve to eat eats, that we wage war on the right brown people, that yada, yada, yada. It's just another goddamn Republican, and it's nothing but PR and marketing to say that Ben Sasse is anything else. But he's real clean cut and pretty, and not quite as long-necked and freaky-looking as Tom Cotton from Arkansas, and consequently, quietly, people are, oh my, isn't he presidential? So, somebody booked Ben Sasse for Real Time with Bill Maher. And along the way, and I'm not going to fool with the clip, I don't need to hear the word a goddamn again. But Sasse said to Bill Maher, well, come to Nebraska and work in the fields with us. They were talking about, you know, making things better. Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to have to play the damn clip. Not for the use of the word. As is so often the case, it's what happens after the word. Well, you know, maybe I will. Hey, let's try the other channel. Get there in a minute. Suffice to say that a firestorm ensued, and Bill Maher apologized and said, I spend a lot of time thinking about the things I shouldn't have said. My most sleepless night is Friday night after the program. Yeah, okay. Groovy. Here's the problem.
To Nebraska, Maher.
You're welcome. We'd love to have you work in the fields with us.
Work in the fields?
That's part of that. That's...
Senator, I'm a house nigga. No, it's a job. Thank you.
Okay, so you've heard it now. Oh, that's true. Brother Deacon Asa says, you're dropping the ball, Bob. You forget to mention that Senator Ben Sasse has perfect hair. Right. Which is a back reference to another of our prophets of the program, Warren Zevon. His hair was perfect! So you've got... Bill Maher said it. Bill Maher's a racist, okay? There's never been a day when Bill Maher wasn't a racist. And we tolerate it because he's also mean to people that we hate, which is some, you know, there needs to be a little navel gazing on that. No, there needs to be a lot of navel gazing on that. We could probably graduate up from navel gazing it and calling it serious, serious reexamination. It's not about what he said. I mean, it is about what he said. But to me, there is a hell of a lot to be had and discussed out of the audience response. The clapping and the laughing when Marr said that word. But even more than that, the laughing of Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska. And he caught some shit, too. And immediately jumped on the Twitter and said, I'm a First Amendment absolutist. Comedians get latitude to cross hard lines. Just cringing last night wasn't good enough. Saying that he should have said something to Marr when Marr said it. It's highly unlikely on a program like that. But the fact of the matter was, he didn't cringe, God damn it. He smiled and chuckled and laughed, because that word is... there's no goddamn navel-gazing about that word on the right. They love that word. They spent 8 years aching to use that word. I mean, Jesus Christ, do you remember when Bro-Fro-Mix, Sanctum Sanctorum, referred to President Obama as he's the nig, remember when he said he didn't like welfare because he didn't want people to get his tax dollars? And then said he meant to say blah? God damn! As Carol Baker points out, Dr. Maya Angelou reminded us that words are powerful. Quote, I believe that words are things. I think they stick on the walls. They go into the upholstery. They go into your clothes and finally into your very body, Maya Angelou said. I believe that. Carol points out, it's not just a word, it's soul-killing, no matter who utters it. I don't buy into the excuse that it's a different word if it's pronounced differently, or that it's contextual in some or another pop cultural world. I hate the goddamn word. And I got real problems with the people who giggled and laughed and guffawed and clapped about it in Mars live audience. And Ben Sasse is just a fucking hypocrite, okay? Because if you watch the video clip, which you'd better watch and capture now, because HBO, after the backlash, has said that in future showings of that particular episode, that moment will be edited out. They're going to throw it down the memory hole. D-Ray McKesson said, really, Bill Maher's got to go. There are no explanations that make this acceptable. And that's a tough argument to refute. I think it is legitimate when someone else has used the word to use the word because of its soul-searing ugliness, so that the world knows how soul-searingly ugly the utterer of it was, which takes me to Flint. Here's Phil Stair, Genesee County Land Bank sales manager. According to Truth Against the Machine, the Genesee County Land Bank has its own controversies. He is, in fact, Phil Stair, an employee of the government. The Genesee County Land Bank is defined on its website as a nonprofit government organization. And the remark he made in the context of trying to explain why Flint had a water problem. You may recall that residents of Flint, it was recently announced in the last month or so, were at risk of having their homes foreclosed upon because they were delinquent in their water bills because they refused to pay for water that remains poisonous, that has already poisoned their children in the thousands, sufficient to create an IQ deficit in the children of Flint that will affect them all their lives. You can't unfuck a brain that has been fucked up by lead poisoning. Recall that Freddie Gray, given a rough ride by the Baltimore Police Department, recall that his mental acuity, his intellectual acuity, had been severely and profoundly negatively impacted by the lead he had ingested as a child in homes owned and rented by slumlords in Baltimore who didn't give a good goddamn how many children consumed lead in their slums. Slumlords, of which now the nearest advisor to the President of the United States is now a member of that inauspicious group, Jared Kushner, Westminster Properties in the Baltimore area, feeding off the public teat while providing substandard and inadequate housing for people whom he then turns around and sues when they leave his filthy properties because they are uninhabitable by people who like to consider themselves to be human beings. Oops, I digressed. So Phil Stair of the Genesee County Land Bank wants to explain why it is the water systems in Flint, the water system in Flint has problems. And yeah, here's that word.
Well, Flint has the same problems as Detroit. Fucking niggers don't pay their bills. Believe me, I deal with them.
And even that gets beeped. And I realize it's a tense and touchy situation. But again, I think when you do that, you got to let the world know who and what Phil Stair is. He then tried to talk his way out of it, and I don't want to call them niggers. Shit, I just went to Myrtle Beach, 24 guys, and I was the only white guy. I got friends. I mean, there's trash and there's people that do this shit. They just don't pay their bills. Well, Detroit didn't collect on their bills, so they charged everybody else. But Flint had to pay their bill to Detroit. It's only one problem. The Flint water problem was created entirely by the Republican administration of fiscal conservative Governor Rick Snyder. And they forced the 56% African American population of Flint to switch over to the Flint River as a water supply. Not because of Detroit's price hikes, but because directly and proximately of Rick Snyder, who yet remains free, at large, able to come and go as he pleases, and is not staring through any bars as he would be in anything that ever intends to call itself a just and decent society. So, you know, Phil Stair, Bill Maher, morons. In my father's house are many morons. And by the way, you might be interested to know that Al Franken, who I'm sure is insufficiently ideologically pure to somebody, some group of somebodies, Al Franken was scheduled to appear in the near future on Maher's program. His spokesperson told Huffington Post, Senator Franken believes that what Bill Maher said was inappropriate and offensive, which is why he made the decision not to appear on the next episode of Real Time. He was glad to see Bill, who the senator considers to be a good friend, apologize and express sincere regret for this comment. I don't know how sincere it is. Is it sincere if it's driven by the oh my God, I'm going to lose a shit ton of money? Is that a definition of sincerity? Oh my God, they're going to kick me off the air. I better apologize real good or else I'll be out a ton. And bullshit on Ben Sasse's comedians cross lines stuff. Kathy Griffin crossed a line, and no, I'm sorry. Kathy Griffin has to be goddamn tortured over something that was obviously political satire. I know. It ain't an easy question. Ron in Raleigh says, how am I supposed to feel about one of the funniest men to ever live, Richard Pryor? One of his comedy albums was entitled Bicentennial Nigger. You don't have to say it, but I mean, it is what it was. And it was shocking in 1976, okay? Monique Marvais said on Stephanie Miller that the word has never been used in a funny way. Richard Pryor was funny. And that's why, and look, this is a bifurcated problem. It's a white problem. It's a problem that white folks have to sort out. Because, see, we invented the word. We took a perfectly appropriate, perfectly normal, perfectly acceptable, perfectly grammatical, syntactical word from the Latin language, spelled N-I-G-E-R, pronounced Niger, which means simply black. Okay? The foundation stone of Rome is said to be the lapis niger, the black stone. It's said to be, what, the foundation stone of a building built, a farm hut, whatever, goat pen, I don't know, built by Romulus in 753 BCE. And that's all the word means, is black, noir. The French, noir, comes from it. Okay? As does negro, American Spanish. But white European colonialists took it. The Portuguese, the Dutch, the English. Transported it along with their colonialism to the New World. And then transformed it into a racist pejorative. And along the way, you know, I want to say we, but it's obvious we doesn't work. We didn't figure out we shouldn't use it because there's a shit ton of white people that still do. And it's and white people have part of the dialogue about what people of color do with the word. That I don't approve of it is not part of it. Because white folks just made it and set it free. And it turned into a living blight upon the language. So I don't know exactly how we deal with it. I won't use it except in a journalistic sense. And I will maintain that I think that journalism, you know, if this was to be played, you know, if this was played on terrestrial radio, I don't think you beep Phil Stair's words. You make Phil Stair deal with what he said. You make Bill Maher deal with what he said. God, this is complicated. Oh, by the way, breaking news, courtesy of Marty. Breaking from the BBC, apparently there's been a siege in Melbourne, Australia. Gunman killed. Police in Melbourne treating it as a terrorist incident. You know, like the one in London. About which we have been nationally embarrassed by the Tangerine Tiberius. In response to the to Ron's query about Richard Pryor, he appeared on Dinah Shore, and she couldn't say the title of the album, "That Nigger's Crazy." She said she couldn't say the word and wondered how he'd feel if she used that word, and he said, "I'd knock your ass out." And that's, of course, reminiscent of another famous skit that could never be done on television today. From Saturday Night Live, Richard Pryor and Chevy Chase playing word association as part of some sort of job interview. And Chevy Chase uses a series of racial epithets, and Richard Pryor responds with cracker, honky. And finally, Chevy Chase uses the word, and in word association, Richard Pryor replies, "Dead honky!" Social commentary, different thing. Bill Maher cannot plead social commentary. No, that would have been funny 100 years ago. Woodrow Wilson would have just laughed and laughed. George Wallace and Lester Maddox and Strom Thurmond would have just laughed and laughed. For a man with a sense of comic timing that Bill Maher has, you know, that kind of comic timing is like perfect pitch in music. You know whether or not something's going to sound right before it even makes it from your brain into your fingers, onto the piano or the flute or the guitar, whatever. He hit a clam. Steve in New York says, I heard a person say this, which I found very thought-provoking. Monique Marvez on Stephanie Miller made the remark that the word seemed to come too quick off of Mar's lips. It seemed too close to the surface. That made me think. Well, and if he's got a racist past, okay? It's not, I mean, it's all there. I mean, Reza Aslan tweeted, I can't believe this said no Muslim ever. He asked a member of the Pakistani-British where he was during the Boston bombing. Ha ha ha! Just laughed and laughed. There's arguably of sexism and misogyny freely. Hashtag Lady Trump laughed and laughed. And one of the more odious recent instances when Bill Maher made some shitty comment about Maxine Waters' hair. Who jumped out? Who jumped out to defend Bill O'Reilly? Bill Maher. Then there was St. Patrick's Day, when he said, what if during Black History Month we all bought lobster with food stamps? What if for Cinco de Mayo we all went swimming in blue jeans? And then there's the love fest he had with Milo Yiannopoulos, a goddamn neo-Nazi racist, that was so profound the New York Times published an article called Bill Maher and Milo Yiannopoulos Find Common Ground. What common ground did they find? They found common ground in their disgust with trans people. So, you know, what do you think? I don't know. Wouldn't it be nice if the only way that anybody knew what the word Niger was because they had studied Latin? Jesus, it only took one class period for our Michigan-born and bred Latin teacher in high school to get her little Alabama students over the tittering when we learned the word for black. So let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Todd, good Todd, in South Carolina. Hey, Todd.
Yo, man, what's going on?
It's sometimes it's just hard, you know?
You know what's interesting about this? Well, there's a lot of things interesting. Actually, this is a tender subject, but it's prescient because of where we are right now, because we've gone back like to where we, you know, around when we were born. No, quit, if you get what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Like in race relations, like maybe.
Well, I mean, okay. We'll just make this a poll question, Todd. Was what Bill Maher said okay?
Hell no. Not Bill Maher. Bill Maher doesn't have the gravitas. He doesn't. No, he can't do that. No, he's not that funny. No, I mean, he's okay. He's funny, but he's not that funny. No, I vote no. That's me. I don't speak for everybody black. You know that. However.
No, that's just a funny thing we do here.
And right, no, and that's what we do. We communicate, and look, and other black people can call in. Tracy can call in. You know, whoever. You know, your folks, other folks in California or wherever. But Bill Maher he's all over the place. And, you know, he smokes a lot. He might have been real high that day. I don't know what's going on in his brain, you know. Now Don Rickles might have been able to get away with that, but that was a different era.
I don't recall Don. Do you recall Don Rickles using that word?
No, but he could have, because he insulted everyone. But he just died, and that's why I brought it up. Because we were little kids when, remember the roast with you know what I'm talking about. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, I was talking about the etymology of the word, or the development of the word. The German word for black bears no relation whatsoever to that Latin word, okay? The German word for black is Schwarz.
Like Schwarzenegger. Right.
Right. But here's the thing. The racist connotation of it transferred into Germany so that if a Yiddish speaker wishes to use the Yiddish equivalent of that word, he uses Schwarze.
Okay.
You remember the scene from Blazing Saddles, which of course is full of that word, where Mel Brooks, as the Indian chief, says, "Hey, the Schwarzes are darker than we are.
Right.
Let them through." That's what that means.
Well, we're Blazing Saddles now. That's
written by Richard Pryor and Mel Brooks.
That was when people were trying to get along. We're in a whole different scene now. This is a whole different scene. See, we had white supremacists inserted in the White House now. This is not. And look, you may not remember, but I remember. I referred to Kumquat as a nigga just because I try to diminish it, because, you know, I'm just like a guy. That's all he is, a guy. Like, look at that nigga. You know, I can say that, though. That's the thing. I can say that.
You can. I can't. But you know what? I live in one of the whitest states in the Union, West Virginia.
Right.
And when I hear little hillbilly kids use it and spell it on Facebook, no.
No, that's highly inappropriate. No. I vote no. 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 Exactly. No. So Bill Maher, no. I don't know, like, I've been following Bill Maher for a while, and I think some of that might come from the fact that he's been open about he likes to deal with women who have sex for money. Nothing wrong with that, I guess, if that's what you want to do, or that's what you have to do. And I would imagine, like a lot of other people like things that are different. You know, people like to be women who are different sometimes. And maybe he's had a few black women and gotten comfortable. Maybe. I don't know what his personal life is like. I don't know. But in this environment and with his level of comedy, you know, he's not that funny. Comedy is risky business. That's why some jokes float with people. You know what I'm saying? Like, three people could tell the same joke. One guy will get it.
Well, it's a delivery thing. But let's also draw a distinction here, please, Todd, between, one of the funniest parts of Maher's program is New Rules, and his monologue's pretty good, too. Let's make something very clear. That is a very, very expensive, well-produced program over on HBO, and there are a team of well-paid writers who are paid to be funny, all right? I'm not going over into that right-wing territory of, well, you know, I could be funny, too, if I had to. No. But the fact of the matter is, there's a big difference between something that is scripted and something that is off the cuff. And that was off the cuff. That wasn't something he had thought about. He just figured, being as how he's worth a few tens of millions of dollars, he had the wealth privilege to be able to get away with it. So he did.
Well,
and maybe, I'm not much for defending Kathy Griffin, but oh my God, really? And little Boron was traumatized by it? I wonder if he was traumatized by the picture of Udi and Cootie holding the dead cheetah.
Don't get me fucking. You know, I got in trouble. I don't know about you. You on fire. You know, I love to curse. That's the way I communicate. I don't give a fuck. I curse in front of old people, young people. Well, until they tell me to stop. I'm sorry. I'm of a certain age. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't owe shit to anybody. Fuck them. So, you brought up Cat. We got to get back to this nigga. That other stuff. In other words, he doesn't have the right. Even Frank Sinatra didn't do that. And I didn't know Frank was down until I was a fucking older man. And he was low-key about that shit. But he went about his business and did what he had to do. And I love his music now. Man, I put Frank on. Frank is no joke. Frank is no fucking joke. But this shit with Cassie, let me tell you something. I was pissed the fuck off. That was funny. Fuck them. All the shit that they do to Obama? Are you kidding me? They better back the fuck up.
Right, but they're snowflakes. And bear in mind, let's sort of keep this in perspective. There will be a massive white lash of white wing outrage over this from a party that its own insiders say is comprised of 50% or more alt-white. It's going to ring a little hollow with me.
Yeah, well, it should. See, that's the thing. I feel like I'm in like a minority in a lot of ways because I have all types of friends, and I've told you that. Like I have younger white people who are friends of mine who tell me, like close friends, and they tell me all the types of interactions they have because certain people feel comfortable being themselves around them, and they come back and tell me what they say. I.e. law enforcement, just neighbors, all kinds of stuff. You see, and they don't know just because of the way they look. You know, they assume that they're safe. You know, safe for them to let their hair down. Okay. See, we're in a different era now. This is some. I mean, you know what I listen to every morning? Oh my! And Sunday was just a banner program on Sunday. Oh, Sunday was a banner program.
You know, I honestly didn't know that you didn't get a break on the weekend.
I can't help it, Bob. I'm addicted. Look, man, that's my coffee. I got to do it, man. I'm just at 7 o'clock, man. I know I can listen to the podcast, but why? I want to hear that shit live. I want to know what my fellow Americans think. Just like that fucking bitch. I cannot stand that fucking nasty ass fucking bitch. Fucking the alternate. Oh, I can't get her name out. Huckstrebe's daughter.
Sarah.
That's a nasty bitch. She's like one of these bitches at the goddamn convenience store. You ask them a question, and they get all.
Now, see, there's that but wait, hold on, Todd. I'm not censoring you, and I'm not calling you out or anything. There's that word again.
Well, I'm sorry. Guess what? I love women that are assertive. My fiance might be listening right now. I don't know. And she's in communication, and she's assertive. But she's, you know what I mean? It's wonderful to be assertive and stand your ground. But this woman is different. She's a bitch. Fuck her. That's my take. Now say what you want. I want to hear. Maybe I'm wrong. No, let me. You know, call me out. I don't like her attitude. She's a pushy ass bitch. Fuck her.
No, I despise her. I just wonder if there's maybe this is just me being a little too goddamn liberal. I wonder if there's some way to talk about how despicable she is, apart from personal and apart from personal pronouns, without bringing gender slurs into it.
See, you're the host. I can talk fucking shit. I'm on my front porch. It's raining. I can smell the jasmine, the wisteria, my stinky-ass dog. I can smell all these nice smells right now, okay? And I can free my mind up right now. Now, you're a talk show host, even though you can say what the hell you want, but within reason. So I can be your alter ego. I know you agree with me, man. We go back. And it's not about, and I know it's a strong word. Women do not like to be called that. But you know what? Sometimes if that hat fits, you must wear it.
Well, okay, so that was funny. There's also the cultural question. There's another word that is deemed even more toxic.
Don't say the C word.
But the funny thing is, that word is used actually, if I understand correctly, and John Fox and I talked about it a little bit, the place like Australia, that word is used almost gender neutral now.
What? Really?
In other parts of the world.
You, black people don't use that. Black in general, black folks don't. I don't use that word because it just doesn't come out of my mouth correctly. I just think it's vile. It's almost as bad as saying vagina.
Right. And so, you know, going back to the other word, what do we do about it when it appears to be funny? Do white people have the right to laugh at that any time? I mean, that simple phrase with that word followed by the word please.
Right, you know, and that's fucking nigga, please. I can say that. However, I'm in, and you got to pick and choose your company. And remember, when Richard Pryor came out with that album,
and understand, it's not like I'm envious. I don't want to use that word. But. If you're white and you've been raised a certain way, there's no way you're ever going to be comfortable with it. I mean, God Almighty, I hate to dredge this one up, but I remember eons ago when, bless his little reformed Kliegel heart, Robert Byrd went on Fox News and explained to somebody, maybe it was Bill O'Reilly, well, you see, I was always taught by my elders that there was white and black, and there was black people, and you know, no.
All right.
Because even in that circumstance, linguistically in that circumstance, no, there's white trash, poor white trash, and over on the other side of the spectrum is that word.
Okay, Bob, since we're in the family, we're all family here. All right, it's not like we just started talking. Now, when I moved to the suburbs as a young teenager before I went away to school, the only people who would associate with me was a small group of Irish kids, and they were mostly all family, right? And I'll say their name. I don't give a damn. They were real Irish, Kilroy. There was a bunch of them. And guess what? They're my friends to this day. All right, because nobody liked them. Nobody liked, you know, we had our own little fucking clique, right? And one time, we heard some other people saying, well, you know, they always like to get an excuse to say that. You know, like, well, you know, there's white niggas. I was like, no. And I had to explain to them. I had to explain that shit to them. Like, no, you cannot say that. We're as tight as we are. Like, we sleep over together and eat, you know, have dinner at each other's houses and everything. You cannot do that. It's just, it's not, and this is in the late 70s, all right? Late 70s, early 80s, like up to 1980, all right? I explained to them. And remember, they were out in the suburbs because their parents lived in the heroin area, Kensington. That's where they were just ethnic white people. Poor whites, dad, you know, their grandparents worked in the factory over there, blah, 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 white flight. And that's why they were out there, to get away from black people, really. Their father was real racist. But they had to accept me because I was
right.
Nice
and
guy or whatever.
But see, there's all kinds, and we've experienced it here. I mean, I remember one night when a dear friend of this program dropped the F word in regard to gay people and intended no more to be offensive than it just, but it was the argot in which he had, the linguistic in which he had, you know, been immersed over the course of years in the military.
Uh-huh.
And it just came out. And on the other hand, but on the other hand, that word can be used. Tell me if I'm wrong, Horn family community, congregation members in the gay community. Use that word, or what a nasty old queen, you know, that sort of thing.
They and, use it in their right. I've heard it used in their community, right?
And you know, while we're at it, I'll get it all on the table, Bob.
Yeah, all right.
While we're at it, I'll jump out there with the word hillbilly. Okay, because I use it comically, sarcastically, sardonically. But you know, let old Frank Rich up in New York use it, and I'm thinking about maybe the guy needs to lose some teeth, so he'll know how we feel. Okay.
It's tricky, isn't it?
It's tribal, Todd. It's tribal. And I don't mean that with any ethnicity attached to it whatsoever. It's clannish with a C, not a K.
That's an anthropological term, and it has nothing to do with ethnicity or race. Even though people try to ascribe that to it. That right. I get you. Just so we're clear. And Al Franken is a superhero. He understands that. Al Franken is like, he's the giant among men in the Senate. And since you brought it up, you know how I do on my side.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. Who is the that guy? That guy is a big one. Have you seen an interview where he's like, oh yeah, I love everybody. And I like Ted Cruz, but I hate him. Who can do that?
Ew.
Al Franken.
Yeah.
Al Franken, man. I'm telling you.
Well, there's a hilarious bit between Samantha Bee and Al Franken, just swapping Ted Cruz insults between each other. And at one point in time, Samantha Bee uses the phrase. She describes Ted Cruz as a used condom in a Gideon Bible, and on another occasion, yeah, I thought that was pro. And another time, she refers to him as a Swamp Reagan.
What?
Swamp Reagan.
Like Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, with the word swamp in front of it. It's a non sequitur, but it's funny.
With the greasy hair, looking like an alligator,
but the thing is, they did that without referring to race, gender, ethnicity, skin color, what have you. So, yeah, it's tribal and complicated.
Well, you know what? Before you cut me off, I two more things I want to mention.
Well, I wouldn't cut you off. Maybe. I mean, we got to get out of here. Short program this evening.
I forgot. That's right. Yeah. So, first of all, does Kushner look like a reptile to you?
Does it, Cruz?
Kushner.
Oh, Kushner. I referred to him the other night as nail-faced. He looks... I don't know. There's something about him that reminds me of a human staple.
He's not human.
It's like there's just it's kind of like every time I see Trey Gowdy or Ted Cruz, I think they're made of wax because they've got that little bit of condensation on them, like dummies in a wax museum.
Oh, I love Gowdy, and that. Yeah, you know, he's from here. Ugh, I don't know what these people, you know, certain people love him, but whatever. Okay, I don't have time to, I forgot you were doing the other show tonight. What's going to Philly, by the way?
It didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
It didn't happen. Ferg pulled up short of money.
Okay.
So okay. He'll try again some other way.
I got you.
Or some other time.
Well, you're going to love it when you go. And I think my fiance is listening. I don't know. I'm trying to get her to call in. She's a little chicken, but she has a lot to say. But, you know, I've heard people now, it's getting mainstream, what a lot of the people in the family have been talking about with this tertiary syphilis.
Tertiary syphilis and neurosyphilis needs to become every bit as pervasive as birtherism was.
I like that, and now I like that comparison.
Trump needs to understand what it is to be subjected to some of the shit that he subjected a reasonably decent man like Barack Obama to for nothing more than the color of his skin.
Hear, hear.
Which, by comparison to what Bill Maher said, or even what that jackass in Flint said, like I said, it's hard to talk about a topic and not talk about Trump. Why? Because it seems like he is the sewer from which all the nastiness flows. And now Trump is the racist in chief. Remember how they spent 8 years describing Barack Obama as, well, he's divided our country. No.
Oh.
You want divided our country? The guy in the White House right now. And you know what? You will never convince me for the rest of my life that given the people that Trump has run with in the course of his life, that he doesn't use that word Bill Maher used as easy as he says good morning. Okay?
You're right, Bob.
And here's the thing.
You know what?
If they caught him on tape... Well, look, the Access Hollywood tape... That still wasn't enough to keep him from being elected president. They say that the outtakes and the raw tapes from The Apprentice are absolutely filthy with that word that Bill Maher used. Used it constantly.
I didn't know anything about it. Oh my God.
So.
We're not surprised.
Here's the thing: as we run out of time. If somebody got brave enough to try to get those tapes out into the public domain, it would not matter if he said it a million times. There are tens of millions of Americans who would say, "That's my president," and there's another significant number of people who would say, "Yeah." But at least we ain't got Hillary. And those people, those people would be the people that we ordinarily consider to be on our side. Just like the people who laughed at the use of that word in that live studio audience the other night. Yep. Got to get out of here, Todd.
See you, man.
Have a good one, man. Later. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. It is time to get out of here on this foreshortened edition of More In Monday on the Horn. Man, that flew by. But before I go, a special happy birthday wishes to Miss Karen. I'm sure that little Cletus and little Twiggy and Steve have been working assiduously on her birthday celebration, and I hope it is a Jim Dandy, Karen. So, yeah, I'm going to shut down for about 58 minutes now, and then we'll fire up the Malloy campfire at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We will close the program needing to raise another $220. And, no, did I get that? I got to check here. It'll just take a second. Yeah, another $220 to go to finish Monday, followed, if it's not, it'll probably come down some with the overnight crew, to less than 425 tomorrow evening. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for spending your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you for keeping this program on the air. Thank you for our all-volunteer staff. And a reminder, when we fire up the Malloy campfire, the Horn chat room will be open. And, jump in if you see fit. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Back in a little bit.